the introit of every Mass, we might say, gives us the theme for that particular Mass. It gives us a spiritual idea which the Church is trying to impress upon our minds. If you followed along in your Missal, you'll notice these words from the introit for today's Mass. For better is one day in thy courts above thousands. It's trying to impress upon us the fact that far above even the legitimate pleasures of this life, and infinitely above that which is sinful but pleasurable, is the pleasure of the possession of the friendship of God. To be God's friend, to have God, through sanctifying grace, dwelling within our souls, is our greatest possible good. Nothing can be compared to it. You've heard it, maybe it's from Scripture. I know St. Thomas More quoted it in the movie The Man for All Seasons, but he said, it profits a man nothing to gain the whole world and yet suffer the loss of his soul. Profits a man nothing. The whole world, everything in it, all the people. If you were to exchange everything created for your soul, it'd be worth nothing. But if we sin mortally, we take the friendship of God, and instead of the whole world, what do we trade it for in that moment? 15, 20 minutes of pleasure, whatever it is, something passing, something after we do it, we are ashamed of it, and we've just traded that greatest possible good, the friendship of God, the one day in his court, we traded for the 1,000 others. It's a very striking epistle this Sunday. Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you would. We must, in one way or another, amend our lives. We must absolutely strive every day to see life as God sees it. It's interesting, human beings are really silly creatures. Because a human being can know full well the consequences of sin in eternity, of course, it's separation from God forever. But even in this life, the regret of sin, and yet we are so weak, our nature is so damaged by the fall, that we will do it over and over and over again, knowing what we're getting ourselves into. It's astounding. For these two are opposed to each other, so that you do not what you would. You strive after God, you seek after him, and yet you fall into sin, you fall into temptation, and you fail. And you do it over and over and over again. So he says to us to walk in the Spirit. That means we have to absolutely put that one day in God's court as our ultimate goal, and we have to see life as God sees it. We have to supernaturalize our life. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are immorality, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, jealousies, anger, quarrels, factions, parties, envies, murders, drunkenness, carousings, and the like. That is the wages of sin. That is what sin gives to us. The devil promises us some passing pleasure, but in reality, that's what we're left with at the end of the day. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity. When we read this epistle, we long after those virtues to possess that stuff? Do you not want to have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all these wonderful things that the grace of God can give us in our life? This epistle should inflame us with a love for virtue and a detestation of sin and evil. In the gospel, our Lord starts out by saying, one man cannot serve two masters. My dear faithful, if there is a person, place, or thing in our life which is tearing us away from God, it has to go. We cannot serve two masters. We cannot show up to church on Sunday, we go to Mass, we go to confession, everything's good, and then Monday through Saturday, it's like we weren't here on Sunday, and Sunday meant nothing. There's no debate, there's no compromise, and there's no middle ground. It's like someone trying to date two people at the same time. It's never going to work. Someone's interested in someone, and they're interested in maybe another person. They have to make a choice between those two people. One and one goes away completely. There's a person, place, or thing in our life which is tearing us away from God. It's got to go. Like ripping off a Band-Aid, it might be painful, but for our greater spiritual good, we know we need to do these things. We had that prick of conscience. I should not be here. I should not be talking with this person. I should not be doing this thing right now. We know. In the spiritual life, they use a metaphor. They show a little sparrow. By the way, a sparrow is a tiny bird. Maybe it weighs, an ounce? They're tiny little things. And it's shackled down by a great big iron chain. Now, do you think that bird's going to be able to take flight? Absolutely not. Impossible. It weighs 100 times its own weight, 1,000, a million times its own weight, that iron chain. The bird cannot even get off the ground. It's shackled by that chain. We look at that like mortal sin. We cannot even get up off the ground in mortal sin. Suppose we were to just take a little piece of string, a little piece of yarn, and tie that bird's foot, and then tie that yarn to something else. The bird still cannot fly. It can get off the ground, but it can only fly so far as that string will allow. Even that little tiny string restricts its movement, its freedom of flight. And that little tiny string is like our attachment to these worldly things. They inhibit our relationship with God. They hold us down, even the small ones. So my dear faithful, in all we think and say and do in this life, let us first seek the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things will be given us besides. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.